Once again, we'd like to welcome you to our Sunday morning service. Today, we are so glad that you can make it. You know, David declared, you know, in Psalms 84, he said, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Church, I want you to know that this morning, even as you are gathered here in the house of the Lord, no good thing will the Lord withhold from you. Amen. Amen, church. Are you awake this morning, church? Because I'm excited to bring the word, because I know that this is a house of miracle. This is a house of worship. This is a house of prayer. This is a house of breakthrough. This is a house of deliverance. It is your house. It is my house. It is the house of the Lord where the Spirit of the Lord dwells. Come on, if you agree with me, say amen in the house. That's right. Where we are gathered together. That is why I love this scripture. It's, in fact, one of my favorite scripture in the Bible. It's Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, where it says, "When two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst of them." Right? When two or three are gathered. When I look at this scripture, right, I realize that there are so many points that I can take from this scripture. You know, when I really dissect this scripture, I realize that it's such a powerful scripture. When I look at this scripture, you know, it says where two or three are gathered in my name. And when you look around, whether there are two or three that are gathered in this place, if you see less than two or three person, after the service, I want to pray for you, okay? You need to pray for healing and deliverance, okay? But where two or three are gathered in my name, the Lord says, I will be there in the midst. And number two, whether you recognize his presence or not, whether you're aware of his presence or not, it doesn't change the fact that when two or three are gathered, he will be there. Amen. And this morning, he is here in the midst of us, church. The Lord is here. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord is here. The Lord is with us this morning. And what an awesome privilege and an honor that we get to be in the presence of our majesty, of our King, of the King of glory. It's such an awesome privilege. And you know what? The best part of this scripture, the third point that I want to share is this. Where two or three are gathered in my name, whose name are we gathered in? We are not gathered in Pastor Derek's name. We are not gathered in AK's name. We are not gathered in Nigel's name. We are not gathered with Sister Hannah's name. But we are gathered under the name above every other name, the name of Jesus, church. At the mention of his name, demons flee. At the mention of his name, miracles break out. At the mention of his name, deliverance take place. At the mention of his name, healing break out. It is the name above every other name. That he is the creator of the heaven and the earth. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is Yahweh. He is Jehovah. And we are gathered in that name. This morning, church, I want you to raise up your expectation. Because when the Lord is in the room, things cannot remain the same. Things cannot remain stuck. It has to move on. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and there is freedom and there is joy. Some of you here really need joy. Your face this morning really look like you just woke up. But can you smile to me, church? Because this morning there is a joy of the Lord in the house. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, this morning, I really woke up really tired. You know, when I walked into church, I was like, God, help me, Lord. You know? But the moment I got into the presence of God, in fact, Luke saw it, right? Luke saw it and he came to me and said, during the pre-service prayer, you were like charging up, right? You were like charging up. And that's exactly what I felt. The moment when I enter into his presence, I feel reconnected. I feel refreshed. I feel recharged in the presence. And I pray for those of you feeling tired today, for those of you feeling exhausted today, don't sleep. But in the presence of God, I pray that you will be renewed, you will be refreshed, and you will be charged by the presence of the Lord. Amen. You know, for those that are new to us, for those that just joined us this morning, you are visiting us. And for those that do not know, our theme for this year is to arise in my glory. Everybody say, arise. Arise in my glory. Arise in my glory is found in Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 to 5. If you do not know, that has been the sermon and the theme for this year that we've been preaching on and on and on about. And a few weeks ago, I talked about we cannot arise in the glory of the Lord without the Holy Spirit. But this morning, I want to talk about partnering with the Spirit of God, that we will arise together, that we will shine for the glory of the Lord, so that His glory will be manifested on earth as it is in heaven, in Calvary Community Church as it is in heaven, in your life and in my life as it is in heaven. Can somebody say amen in the house? That's right. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1, he says, arise. Everybody say arise. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, church. But church, how many of you know that you're not just called to arise? You're not just called to arise in the glory of God. You are also called to shine for the glory of God. The word doesn't just say arise, but in the next part, it says shine. Arise, shine. You are called to shine, my friend. You are called to be a light. You are called to be a salt. You are called to be a person that will bring the gospel of Jesus wherever you go. That when people see you, they're going to see the Jesus in you. There's something different about you. Do you know that when you are in the presence of the Lord, your countenance changes? Your countenance changes. When you are a believer of God, your countenance changes. When Moses was spending time with the Lord face to face, when he had a face to face encounter with God, when he came out from that glory, his face was shining. Shining. Not because of makeup, not because of the glitter, but his face was shining, was radiant with the glory of God. And church, do you know that when you spend time in the glory of the Lord, and when you come up from that glory, your face and your countenance changes as well? That is the access where every single believer have. Every single believer have free access into the presence of the Lord to experience the greater glory of the Lord. And I pray that even as we are sitting here in this place, we are listening to this message in this place, I pray that you and I will be a carrier of His glory. That wherever we go, whatever that we do, we'll be a people of His glory. That we will arise in the glory, and then we will shine for the glory of God. Somebody say amen. Romans chapter 8 verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. But church, before you are led by the Spirit of God, before you partner with the Spirit of God, how many of you know that it begins from a place of relationship with God? It has to start. It has to begin from a place of relationship. Everybody say relationship. Turn to your neighbor and say relationship. If they are sleeping, wake them up. We need to first be in relationship with Him to be led by His Spirit. We need to first be in relationship with Him before we can partner with Him, church. Our partnership with God begins from a place of first loving Him and knowing Him. Isn't that awesome? That we can first love Him and know Him. Even when we look at the Bible, right? When Jesus called the 12 disciples to go make disciples of all nations, you realize that Jesus called the 12 to Him first? He didn't just call the 12 and send them out. No, He called the 12 to Him first. And when I say loving Him and knowing Him, the word knowing, I don't mean the English word to know. I don't mean the English word to know. You can know about somebody, but it doesn't mean that you have a relationship with that person. Amen. Let me take it up another level and another notch this morning. You can call yourself a Christian, but it doesn't mean that you have a relationship with the Lord. You can say ouch, or you can say amen. Okay, but if you're sitting here, if you're offended, I pray that the Lord will convict your heart, okay? Because we are not called to be offended, okay? But because we are a believer of Christ, we are in love with Jesus, we have a relationship with Him. But many a times, not this church, maybe somebody else out there, they can call themselves a believer, they can call themselves a Christian, but they don't know Jesus. They don't have a relationship with Him. Do you know that you can go through the motion of the service, but not actually experiencing God? not actually having an encounter with God. And I pray that Calvary Community Church, every single one of us sitting here in this place, we will not be that person. That when we walk into the church, when we walk into the service, we are ready, we are filled, we are prepared to encounter the Lord. Can I hear an amen, please? You can come to church and know and be ready, knowing that the Lord is going to move in the house. That's what I came here prepared with. I'm not here to charge you up. I'm not here to charge the atmosphere up. I am here ready, prepared, knowing that the Lord is going to move. That is the posture of my heart this morning. What is your posture? Are you at the posture of receiving? Are you at the posture of saying, no, God, I know you're going to speak to me today? Are you having a posture of expectation, knowing that God will touch you and minister to you this evening? What is your posture this morning, church? The word that I'm referring, that knowing, is not the English word, but I'm referring to the Hebrew word, yada. Everybody say yada. The word Hebrew word yada, which means knowing, actually comes from the place of a deep, intimate relationship with Him. A deep, intimate knowing from a place of relationship with Him. Do you know that we are called to know Him and to make Him known? We are called to know Him. We are called to yada Him and to make Him known. We cannot partner with the Spirit of God without having a yada relationship. Without having first knowing Him for who He is, knowing His nature, knowing His characteristics, knowing what He does, knowing His goodness. We cannot partner with the Spirit of God without knowing, truly, truly knowing Him. Before Jesus sent out His 12 disciples, He told them, come and be with me. Come and be with me first. It all begins from a place of relationship, church. John chapter 15, verse 4 to 5, it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in a vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me and I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do something. No. Anything. No. You can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. You can do nothing without being partnering with Him. You can do nothing without being in relationship with Him. And in fact, right, when I was studying the Bible, I realized one thing. Do you know that the first miracle, okay, give me your attention. Do you know that the first miracle that Jesus performed that was ever recorded in the Bible is actually done because of relationship? How many of you know that actually? For me, I was like, whoa, that's powerful. The first miracle that was ever recorded that Jesus performed in the Bible was actually done because of relationship. Let's look at John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. And after that, we'll look at 7 to 10. John chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and His disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to Him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, I don't know whether in that time was it a common thing to call your mother woman. In this day and age, if you call your mother woman, pop, pop, you know. Okay, let's come back. When I read this scripture, I like to imagine it very vividly, okay? That's how I like to read the Bible. He said, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servant, you see, Okay, let me give you attention a little bit. He said, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Did you realize that his mother didn't even respond to him? His mother didn't even say, hey, you cannot call me woman, or you can, or he didn't say, oh, or even have a conversation. No, the mother straight away, this is funny, man. I don't know, I find this very funny. The mother straight away looked at the servant and said, whatever he says to you, do it. Like how our mother today, also, just do it, you know. Whatever it says to you, do it. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And He said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. and they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants had drawn the water new, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, but you have kept the good wine until now. See, when we look at the story, of course, I'm really intrigued about the Jesus calling his mother woman part, okay? But other than that, right, the first miracle that was actually performed in the Bible was because of relationship. Everybody say relationship. Was done because of his relationship with his mother. Even though Jesus said, it wasn't my time yet. My hour has not yet come. But at the same time, he still performed the miracle. It was done out of relationship. That's why he did it. He did the miracle because of relationship. And this is what I'm saying, church. When we partner with the Spirit of God in relationship with God, it unlocks the supernatural, creative miracles of God in our life. It unlocks. Even though Jesus said, woman, it's not my time yet, but he still did it. Because he has relationship with his mother. Likewise, today, every single one of us sitting here, we have relationship with God. We have a relationship with Jesus. And do you know that Jesus said, delight yourself in him and he will grant the desires of your heart? God will grant the desires of your heart. He will partner with you if you're willing to yield yourself to him. And can I hear an amen, please? And it continues to say in John chapter 2, verse 11. Can we show this in the Passion Translation? I was looking at the two translations when I saw the Passion Translation, this makes so much sense. This miracle in Cana was the first one of many extraordinary miracles Jesus performed in Galilee that revealed his glory. That revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. What am I saying, church? Miracles reveals the glory of God. Miracle reveals the glory of God. And that is why it is so important for us to partner with the Spirit of God. It is so important for us to be led by His Spirit. It is so important for us to know that when we partner with Him, we actually release the miracles of God so that the glory of the Lord will be released on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Over every single one of our lives. I believe that every single one of us sitting here, we need some form of breakthrough. We need some form of miracle. If you don't need a breakthrough in your life, if everything is going well, you know, you got no troubles at all, please mentor me. Because every single one of us go through, whether it's a big thing or small thing, everybody go through problems. And we somehow, one way or another, we need His intervention. And do you know that when you need His intervention, the best way is to be in relationship with Him. Sometimes when you feel you're too overwhelmed, you're too stressed out, you don't know what to do. And then after that, we try everything already. Then only we run after Jesus. But can I propose to you that your first response should be to run after Jesus first before doing anything else? Because many a times we try to work things out. Okay, we are very logical human being. We like to work things out based on our capability, our ability, our experience, our own intelligence, our own wisdom. We like to work things out our way. But let me tell you something. It's always the best. Everybody say best. It's always the best when you turn to God first before trying to sort things out on your own. Because you know why? God's plan is always the best plan. God's way is always the best way. And He always has a solution for you. You know why? He is the solution. So when you run to the solution, you already have an answer. Some of you are searching for answer high and low, high and low. God, what am I supposed to do? You reach out to your friends, you reach out to people. Great, that's great. But before you do all that, why don't you reach out to the Lord first and listen. Yield yourself, surrender, and listen to what the Lord has to say over your situation, has to say over your circumstances. Because I tell you, when you run to His presence, the fullness of God will be revealed to you. whatever that you lack, whatever that you need, is found in the presence of God. Jeremiah 33 verse 3, he says, call. Are you calling him, church? On somebody's phone. Are you calling him, church? Call upon me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. It is a promise of God. When you call upon him, he will answer you. And Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, he says, for I know the plans I have towards you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a hope and a future. Church, you don't know what your future may hold. I may not know what my future may hold. But the Lord says, for I know. He knows our future because our future, our hope is in his hands. When your life is in his hands, your life is in good hands. Amen, church. When your life is in the hands of the Lord, you don't have to worry. Be anxious for nothing, church. Be anxious for nothing. Jesus even said, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. For I care for you. But many a times we try to run to other places to look for a solution. Church, I want you to know this. It is very important that we come to a place of agreement and partnership with the Holy Spirit so that we may arise in the glory of the Lord, so that the glory of the Lord will be released on earth as it is in heaven, in your life, in my life, and in everyone's life. Every single one of us, I want you to know that we have a divine assignment. We have a divine assignment that was birthed in us the moment we are born again. There was a divine assignment the moment where we received Jesus in our hearts. And you know what it is? It is the appetite for the impossible. It is the appetite for the impossible to see God turn the impossibility into a reality for us. That is what I call the appetite for the impossible. Miracles, signs, and wonders. But I'm not asking you this morning to chase after miracles, signs, and wonders. No, I'm asking you to chase after Jesus and miracles, signs, and wonders will follow. But then at the same time, we need to have an appetite for the impossible. We need to have an appetite for heaven to invade earth. Because our reality is supposed to look like heaven's reality. That is why Jesus taught us to pray on earth as it is in heaven. You don't wait until you die and then you go to heaven really, then you experience heaven's reality. No, but you're supposed to experience heaven's reality here on earth while you're living and breathing, because you carry the authority of Jesus. You carry the authority of the resurrection King inside of you, church. The spirit that's living in you is not a dead spirit. It's alive. Everybody say alive. It's alive and it's living and it's powerful, church. So when you partner with the Spirit of God, you unleash heaven. You release heaven here on earth. You know, I just want to share a story with you. A couple of months ago, I was ministering to a church in Singapore. You know, and there were a bunch of amazing people. And after I preached, finished the message, you know, I called for the altar call. More than 95% of them came out for the altar call. And, you know, being trained under Pastor Rajan in this church, we don't do general prayers and then after that send everybody off, because that's the easy thing to do. But we do personal, specific, one-on-one prayers. So I really took my time to go through hundreds of them, okay? One by one, one by one, one by one. And then I came to a point, right? I don't know how many I prayed. I came to a point where I began to start feeling very thirsty. Because you keep speaking, right? I became very, very thirsty. So there was a girl that was serving, all right? She was a catcher. And I just turned to her. I said, can you give me some water? Can you give me some water? And she ran off. I thought, what happened, you know? She ran off, okay? And I was praying for this person, you know, this person was weeping and crying. And then when she came back, guys, give me a water. She came back, not even kidding, church. It was a 500 ml bottle of water. And she came back with water less than this. This is a, how many ml this one? 100, your maths fail. This one probably about 250. Okay, 100, brother. Okay, anyway, so he gave the 500 ml bottle and the water was so low. I was thinking to myself, I, I, I was praying, Shakatala. Then I looked to her, I said, what is this? I said, what is this? He said, Pastor, this is all I could find. So I said, okay. So I just opened a bottle of water and I drank it. And then immediately I drank it, I turned and I saw her face. She went like that. At that moment, I was thinking, oh my God, did she take it from the toilet or what? Really, that came across my mind. I was ministering, I was in the zone, I was listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and then, did this water came from the toilet? You know, and I, you know what, I didn't care. I drank, finished the water, and then she went like that, one like that, and then she went off. Then I was like thinking, okay, never mind. I finished ministering to everyone after the service, you know, some of them stay back, and I saw the girl. And I saw the girl, and I went to her, I said, why did you give me a almost empty bottle? And then before I even can say anything, and then she said, Pastor, why did you drink the water? Oh, suddenly, you know, I was thinking, finish lah. Really finish lah. Then I'm thinking like, what you mean? I'm thirsty. Of course lah, I want to drink the water. Then she said, Pastor, I didn't know that you were thirsty. I thought you wanted water to perform a miracle. I said, water to perform miracle? I asked her straight, you think I'm Jesus or what? I turn water into wine. Huh? At that moment, then they were laughing and laughing and laughing. And I also burst out laughing. And then in the end, I asked, whose water is this? They say, Pastor, actually, we don't know. We just saw one random bottle there and then we took. Then the pastor of the church came to me and said, Pastor, I'm very upset that one of our leaders actually gave you the bottle. But I'm also very curious, how come you drink the water? I said, bro, of course, like, I don't know how I know. I'm already thirsty. But anyway, when we were all laughing, you know, and you know, it was a crazy moment that time, suddenly I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he reminded of me of a scripture. He reminded of me of Matthew chapter 18 verse 3. He reminded me of Matthew chapter 18 verse 3. He said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And that girl really showed me what childlike faith looked like. Really, at that moment. Even though I don't know where the source of the water came from, who's the guy that drank the water, who's the girl that drank the water, whether the water got virus or not, I don't know. But at that moment, suddenly the Lord reminded me that this girl actually displayed childlike faith because she was so ready. Pastor said one water, she was so ready to see God perform a miracle in that place. She really thought, I'm going to take the water. Then I asked her, you know, I said, what did you expect me to do? You tell me what miracle you expect. You know what she said? She said, Pastor, I don't know. I thought you're going to open the bottle and then you're going to pour over the person's head like Mary. Like how Mary anointed Jesus. I said, wow, that's great faith. I said, that's great faith. But I told that person, I'm not Jesus. I said, you want that? You go to Jesus. But that's not what Jesus told me to do. And that girl really reminded me of what childlike faith looked like. She was willing. Everybody say willing. She was willing to partner with the Spirit of God in anything and everything so that the miracle of God will take place, so that the glory of God will be seen in that place. You see, sometimes it may look ridiculous. It doesn't make sense for her to even give me this small little amount of water. But yet, in that moment, she was so expectant. She was ready for God to move in the miracles. She was ready. She wanted to see the glory of the Lord be released over that boy's life. And I tell you, when I went back, I was like, wow. Actually, that was childlike faith. That was childlike faith. She really thought everything is possible. Everything is possible. And then that girl really... In that particular session, she got marked. She got really marked by the presence of God. In fact, when we were praying for her, she just went down on the floor.
went down the floor, and she told us electricity was just flowing through her body. She had an encounter with God that marked her for life. When you had childlike faith, you partner with God for the impossible to become possible. Every impossibility become a reality in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you are like a child, whatever you tell a child, they listen to you. I remember, where's Ethan's? Ethan's, are you in the baby room? I remember when, I think it was Jordan or Aston, when they were young, I remember Ethan's told me this. I think he told Jordan that secretly, Papa is Superman. Superman or Spider-Man, either one of it. And you know what? Jordan believed. Jordan really believed. And then he came to me one day. Okay, this is Jordan. He came to me and one day, Coco, Papa is Spider-Man. I was like, yeah, how you know? You know, they really believe everything that you tell them. Likewise, church, when we have childlike faith, I tell you, our God is our Superman. Our God is our Superman. And not for a second you doubt. Not for a second you doubt. You will release the miracles of God. You will release the glory of God on earth as it is in heaven. You will release the glory of God over your life. Because you believe. With a childlike faith, you believe that everything is possible, that nothing is impossible with Christ. He has purchased it all on the cross first. He has completed it. He has finished it. And there is nothing too hard that the Lord cannot do. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. There is nothing, absolutely nothing. And if you would believe, when you say to this mountain to be cast away, it will be cast away. Amen, church? When we partner with the Spirit of God, everything is possible. Miracles is possible. And let me tell you something. If it can happen there, it can happen here. If it can happen then, it can happen now. We have heard. Our church is full of stories and testimonies of miracles. We have heard so many testimonies, so many stories of miracles and healing and signs and wonders. And some of us sitting here, we are struggling. We are struggling with the exact same thing. Let me tell you something. Every single time when a miracle, when a story of a miracle, where a testimony is being released in the atmosphere, in the room, we are actually inviting the Lord to do it again. And if you're sitting here, if you need a breakthrough in your life, you need a healing in your life, you need deliverance in your life, you need God to come true for you in miracles, let me tell you something. All you have to do is just to believe. Everybody say believe. Believe, and it shall be done for you. Many people in the Bible, it was according to their faith, not their works, not their efforts, not through their intelligence and wisdom and striving. No, but it was according to their faith they are made whole. They're healed. They're completely set free. It was because of their faith. And church, if you're sitting here, if you would just believe, it shall be done for you. It shall be done for you. When we partner with the Spirit of God, every single believer here, we carry the responsibility of heaven to speak His will into being. We carry the responsibility. It's on us, church. It is not on the person sitting beside you. It's on every single one of us. God has given us His authority to declare freedom in the atmosphere. God has given us His authority to declare over sickness that you have no hold over the body. God has given us authority so that we can stand in victory. Can I hear an amen, please? To heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. It is our responsibility, church, to see the reality of heaven happening here on earth. On earth as it is in heaven. In Calvary Community Church as it is in heaven. In your life and in my life as it is in heaven, church. So here's my question for you today. Who are you partnering with? Who are you partnering with? I think I shared this a couple of times before. There are three voices that we hear, you know, in our life. There are three inner voices, okay? Three inner voices. One, God's voice. Second, demonic voice. Third, your voice.
Sometimes you will hear the fourth voice. Maybe it's your mother or your wife's voice. Okay? But actually, you only hear three voices. But many a times, we get so distracted with other voices. The voices of the world, the voices of the enemy. We get so distracted. But let me tell you something, church. We need to tune out the voices so that we can focus. That we can focus on the very voice of the Lord that brings direction, that brings solution, and that brings breakthrough. When you are so in tune with the voice of the Holy Spirit, everything changes. You know that? You know, I can be sitting in a cafe talking to somebody, but there at the same time, I'm having a total new, different conversation with the Lord. And it has many times, I have many times sit in a coffee shop, you know, and you know, people were just talking loud and everything was loud. But suddenly for me, inside, everything just silent. It's just me and him, and I can just hear the voice of the Holy Spirit just like that. Why? Because when we choose to partner with the Holy Spirit, that's what can happen. That's what can take place. The reality of heaven becomes so real on earth in this place. Who are you partnering with will determine what your destiny will look like, church. Who are you partnering with will determine your destiny. If you're partnering with the voices of the enemy, let me tell you something, you will reap the fruits. You see, if in Proverbs chapter 18, it says that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So what does it mean? It means that whatever that you declare, whatever that you say, in fact, whatever that you meditate, right? Whatever that you say, whatever you declare, whatever you meditate actually has authority and power. If you keep confessing death, if you keep confessing negative things, you are actually partnering with the enemy. You're partnering with the enemy, and not just you're partnering enemy, you are actually producing fruits of death. But wow, if you focus on the Lord, if you partner with the Lord, if you partner with life, you will produce the fruits of life. That is what the Bible says. That's not what I say. Who you are partnering with will determine how your destiny will look like. Let's look at one more story in the Bible, and after that, we'll close. Let's look at the story of the centurion faith. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 10. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 10. Are you still with me, church? Yes. Awesome. Okay, very good. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 10. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word." I love this. "But only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Okay? He marveled and said to those who follow, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Let's pause here in a moment. The scripture says that Jesus marveled. Many a times it is the opposite. It is the people of God, the ones that are following Jesus, the one that's seeing the miracles, seeing the signs, seeing the wonders being performed, seeing the glory of the Lord being released. Those are the people that were marveled. But in this story, it was Jesus that was marveled. Why Jesus was marveled? Because of the great faith of the centurion. The question is this: how did the centurion know that without Jesus being physically there, the healing can take place? Because it has never happened in the Bible before. If you look at the past, all right, it has never happened. Always, all of the miracles, Jesus was present. He was physically present. But only in this particular story, the centurion said, "Just say the word. You don't have to be there, but just say the word and my servant will be healed." How did the centurion know that? You know why? Because the centurion understood authority. He understood that Jesus is a man of authority. And the centurion partnered with Jesus. He partnered with Jesus and told Jesus,
You know, many a times it's Jesus telling them, but this time it's the centurion telling Jesus, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. I love the fact when we call unto Jesus, he immediately responds. He responded to the centurion and said, I will come to your house and heal your servant. But no, the centurion said, no, Jesus, no, you don't have to come to my house. All you have to do is speak the word. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. The centurion understood the authority of the Lord. He understood what does authority means. And that is why at that moment, he partnered with Jesus, a man of authority, to release the miracle over the servant. And then let's look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. And as you, everybody say you have belief. Let it be done for you. It wasn't the faith of the servant that was lying down at home, but it was because of the faith of the centurion. It was done for the servant that was lying down at home. The servant was healed at that very hour because the centurion had the faith to believe, that even as Jesus speaks the word, he will be healed. Church, I declare this as well. As you believe, let it be done for you likewise. As you believe, as you declare, as you continue to trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean unto your own understanding, he will direct your path. He will surely come true for you. He will give you the breakthrough that you have been contending for. Because of the centurion's faith, he was completely healed. His servant was completely healed. Can I have the worship team, please? The centurion partnered with Jesus and it resulted in his servant being healed at that very hour. Church, I'd like to propose this idea to you. Your partnership with God is a gateway to unlocking the lifestyle of the supernatural. Your partnership with God is a gateway, it's a door to unlocking the lifestyle of the supernatural. Let me tell you something. As believers, right, do you know that we are called to walk in the mandate of miracles? Every single one of us, as believers, do you know that the supernatural isn't supernatural for us? It should be natural. It should become a norm for us. It should become something normal for us because we are partnering with the supernatural God. So when we walk with him, we start walking in miracles, signs, and wonders. And that is why it becomes something normal and natural for you and I. We are all called to walk in supernatural lifestyle. We are all called to walk in miracles, signs, and wonders, church. Can you imagine? If that you saw somebody sick, you saw somebody needs healing and breakthrough, and you go as a child of God, you go as a son and a daughter of God, knowing that you have relationship with him, knowing that you are partnering with him, and then when you pray, and when you release healing, when you release miracle, that person gets instantly healed. Do you know that that is not just a fantasy, but it is a reality for every single believer? Not just the pastors, not just the leaders, not just the ones that come to church every weekend, no. Not the ones that praise 24/7, no. But every single believer that has called upon the name of Jesus and has invited him in their lives, those are the people that have access to walk in this supernatural lifestyle of miracle. Every single one of us are called to live in that lifestyle. And I pray that you and I, church, will be a living testimony wherever we go. That wherever we go, we release the miracles, we release the glory of the Father. That people, when they look at us, they will see the Lord is in this place. They will know that Jesus has walked into the room. And then that is the moment of salvation for them. Everything that Jesus did in the Bible, everything that he did was accompanied with the demonstration of his power. You and I, church, we are called to walk in the miracle and the signs and the wonders of the Lord.
It is time for us, Calvary Community Church, to start partnering with the Spirit of God to release the glory of the Lord on earth as it is in heaven, in Malaysia as it is in heaven, in Calvary Community Church as it is in heaven, in your community, in your family, in your workplaces, in every single place where you have influence. It is time for the glory of the Lord to be released in that place. Can we stand to our feet this morning? I pray that even as we believe and partner with the Holy Spirit this morning, that we will start stepping out from our comfort zone and be bold to be a light of the world, to arise in the glory of the Lord, and also to shine for His glory. Holy Spirit, this morning we choose to partner with You, Lord. We choose to partner with You, Lord, in relationship with You. Lord, we want to have a yada relationship with You. We don't just want to know about You, but we truly want to know You, Lord. You are our heart's desire. And through that relationship, God, we pray that we will be living testimonies of the glory of the Lord being released here on earth. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Holy Spirit. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Lord. Let's worship the Lord.
Let Your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let Your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek Your face.
Let Your glory fall.
Let Your glory fall in this room.
Let it go forth.
Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let Your fragrance rest in this place. And as we gather to seek Your face,
let Your glory fall.
And let Your glory fall in this room. Your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek Your face.
Father, we thank You for Your presence as we are gathering together to seek Your face, Jesus. This morning, we declare, Lord Father, we want to partner with You in everything that You do, in everything that You say. Jesus, our response is, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord Father. I'm here to hear Your voice. I'm here to be doing Your will. I'm here to be sent out by You, Lord Jesus. We are willing to partner with You, Lord. We want to partner with You, Lord. We desire more of You, Lord Father. So I pray, Lord Father, this morning, even as Your people respond to this message, God, I pray, Lord Father, that You will use them mightily for Your kingdom. They will start walking in the mandate of miracles. They will start walking in the lifestyle of supernatural, Lord Father. In all things that they do, Lord Father, they will embrace Your glory. And Your glory will be released over their life, Lord Father, over their families, over their community, on earth as it is in heaven, Father. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We're going to go into the next part of our worship. Let's unpack the emblem this morning. If you do not have an emblem with you, just lift up your hands. The ushers are going around.
The throne.
Come morning. If you're done unpacking, I want you to just worship the Lord this morning.
Crown you now with many crowns, you reign victorious.
High and lifted up,
and high and lifted up,
Jesus,
the Jesus Son of God,
the darling
of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb.
Oh, yeah,
Lord, worthy is the Lamb.
Sing, worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Seated
on the throne.
Holding the bread and the cup in your hands. Father, we thank you for this morning that we can come to your table, Lord. Father, that even as we partake of the bread and the cup, Lord, we pray, Lord Father, that we will start walking in the mandate of miracles because of what you have done on the cross for us. It is finished. It is completed. You have purchased it, Lord, with your precious blood. And that this morning we can stand boldly and proclaim in a God, you are so good that we can walk in liberty, we can walk in freedom, standing on victory ground. We love you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, after he had given thanks, he turned to his disciples and he said, "This bread signifies my broken body. As often as you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me." In Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5, it says, "For he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of our peace was upon him. And by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed." As a family of God, let's partake of the bread together. Likewise, after supper, he turned to his disciples and said, "This cup signifies the new covenant that I made through my blood. As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me until I return." Church, I want you to know that Jesus is coming back soon. He's not coming back to fulfill an end time prophecy, but he's coming back for you and I. As a family, let's partake of the cup together. Down your cups. Why don't you lift up your hands? Father, I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you, Lord Father, that this morning we choose to partner with your presence, God. We choose to partner with glory. So Father, I declare that even as your people leave from this place, let this week be a week filled with miracles, signs and wonders. Let this week be a glorious week for them, God, that they will encounter you, Lord Father, like never before. I declare over your people, they are the head and not the tail. They are highly favored, they are deeply loved, and they are tremendously blessed, Lord Father. We love you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone say, amen, amen, amen.